Welcome to the Morning Struggle Podcast. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Ty, and we bring you Habits of Successful People. And today we're talking about
hair.
Hair. Activate. So, hair do's, hair did's. We go into the salons and we getting all fancied up. What are we talking? Like body hair?
We're not talking about body hair.
What are we doing?
Body hair will be a different episode.
We're going to do a whole episode on body hair?
Yes, I'm very excited.
Oh my gosh. This is just hair on our head.
Hair on our head and like socially and like, well, how we're socialized and then how it affects our mental health is what we're going to go into.
Like what kind of hairstyle we have or hair how hair naturally looks? What are you talking about?
Like your hair color and like the general, I guess the general hairstyle, but we're going to more go into like psychologically what it does if you're born with blonde hair versus red hair versus
curly versus straight or whatever. Yeah. I think you're doing this intentionally because for those of you who don't know me, we're the Morning Struggle Podcast. Mm-hmm. And we bring you habits of successful people. One of my habit is to have nobody spend money on things so I can buy really big stuff.
Right.
So I
like planes. Save,
but no, really, we're very fiscally responsible.
We're frugal. Yeah.
We're frugal. So haircuts. I am a professional haircutista. Cutista. And so I went on the YouTubes. Mm-hmm. It's cosmetology is a real deal. Like you have to be certified.
Yeah, it's an actual
thing. You go to school.
Thing.
And so I'm not trying to downplay that.
Absolutely
but
not.
I went on the YouTubes mm-hmm. and I learned how to cut hair.
That was over the pandemic though, mainly.
It was mainly
and
over
then
the pandemic.
Now we've just hung on to
I'm
that.
Really talented. I can get a haircut done in like 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. Boys, girls, dogs, doesn't matter. I've got the haircut skills and you won't let me blossom in that.
I'm so
because
sorry.
Because you want to take everybody to the fancy salons, which just, are very nice, by the way.
And they wash your hair and the whole bit.
In the really fancy ones, and maybe they give you a drink, mm-hmm. put on some fancy music, mm-hmm. give you a massage or a hot washcloth. I don't know. This sounds amazing. Why am I not going to the salon every day?
Another
fact that I don't have hair on the top of my head anymore. But
they could go and put like a nice massage lotion on your head, though. I feel like that could be a thing.
Okay, I like that. Mm-hmm. They should do a salon for balding guys.
No, I mean, really, you have to shave it down
so
and everything.
So many people are balding. It's mm-hmm. It's amazing. There's got to be something in our food.
Is it a hormonal thing, you think?
I'm going to talk about it in my history segment.
Ooh, yep. I like it.
Well, we do a history segment, we do a science segment, we do a coffee review, and mm-hmm. then an action plan.
I'm really stoked about our coffee review today, too.
Yeah, me too, because it's real coffee again, so thanks for that one.
You're welcome.
And so we're going to talk about hair, what it does to you emotionally, what it does to you socially, mm-hmm. and so you can kind of
mentally.
And mentally, and so you can get a grasp on it and utilize either what, like do the best hair you can do or understand natural hairstyles and be okay with it or all of the above?
All of the above. We're going to action plan it so you start to love what you have on the top of your head.
I love it. Okay, here we go.
This day in history.
History segment of hairs.
Every individual hair?
Well, we were, if you believe in the theory of evolution, if you're a Charles Darwinian, like a Swiftie, but a Darwinie. If you're a Darwinie and you believe in evolution, we came from like an ape-like species.
Right.
So we were furry. We were furry little monkeys mm-hmm. and hopping around the forest, having fun. Mm-hmm. And then one little monkey stood up and said, look at me, run. And then you have nursery rhymes. So, but we spend millions of dollars, probably billions of dollars a year on waxing and eyebrow threading, laser hair removal, shaving our bodies, cutting our hair. Why? If you were a beautiful horse with a giant mane, you wouldn't say, shave this sucker off. You'd let that thing flow in the wind. So why are we so obsessed with no hair on our bodies?
I'd love to know this.
Weird thing, but here you go. There's kind of three theories.
Okay.
Semi-aquatic, sweat, and emotional communication.
Okay.
We're going to go into those three.
All right.
This came from an article from a prestigious magazine, Science Magazine. They do science stuff. And so Sarah Miller, she did a study.
Uh-huh.
She's a dermatology professor at the University of Pennsylvania Perelman School of Medicine.
Oh, that's legitimate.
And she says in her big study paper, uh-huh. we don't know why. We don't know why people lost their hair. There you go, folks. And she probably took her 10 years.
It probably took her 10 years.
It was probably 1,000 pages long. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, they said, I don't understand it either.
Could you imagine just turning in that document and being like, thank you for my doctorate.
At some point, they're like, you've just been golfing every day.
No, she had to do all these studies to determine.
All that research.
Yeah, well, she's to know that there's no lab. Answer. Yeah.
Anyway, but many mammals have fur.
Yeah.
Fur and hair, kind of semantics.
Well, we still have fur, right?
We have hair all over our bodies. 90-something percent of our body is covered in hair. Mm-hmm. But we're talking fine hair. Mm-hmm. And so the difference between hair and fur... Fur is shorter and denser. There's more hairs per follicle, and then they don't grow as much.
Oh, okay.
Hairs have less hair, or you know, hair per follicle,
yeah.
And then it grows long and thready. Oh. So that's why your hair on your head just keeps growing.
Oh.
But like your dog will get shaggy, but all of a sudden if you don't do anything with your dog, it's not all of a sudden this hair is down to the floor.
Oh, and that's why poodles have hair.
Yeah,
because it keeps growing.
So fur usually has like two coats, like an undercoat and a top coat. Hair just has one layer of hair.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why poodles and hairless dogs don't shed. It's because they don't shed. They don't have that undercoat and that fur. But anyway, we digress. most animals don't have hair or fur on their plantar skin. Plantar skin is your palms, your bottom of your feet, your wrist. If you look at your inside of your wrist, you don't have fur there. And so they did some research and they found that polar bears and rabbits and a few other animals have plantar hair on like their palms and their feet.
Yeah, they better. They have to walk on the snow.
They're walking on the ice and snow. Let's get some nice fur boots on. they're walking around in their fancy fur boots. But there's a protein. It's called DKK2 mm-hmm. and it's an inhibitor protein. And it was not present in high levels. So they found that this protein might regulate hair growth.
Oh.
So the team compared normally developing mice with a group that had a mutation which prevents DKK2 from being produced. And they found that the mutant mice had hair growing on their plantar skin.
Oh.
So if you don't have this protein, stops hair growth.
Okay.
If you don't have this protein, yeah. You get hair everywhere. You're like the dog boy or wolf man, just hair ablazing. You have mice with furry palms. Nobody wants furry palms, especially those poor little mites in there. And then there's so baldness, mm-hmm. there's called the WNT pathway is what causes baldness. Okay. It stops your hair growth. Uh-huh. Your body in this pathway says, you're good. We don't need hair anymore there. Go ahead and kick it out.
Oh.
So on our bodies, we have a lot of WNT pathway. That's what happens to the baldies.
Oh, I see.
And I can say that because I'm going bald. Mm-hmm. So you're only allowed to make bald jokes if you're going bald.
That's true.
So, I still got some hair. It still looks
fine.
Well,
wait a minute. But like why is it only, or predominantly, not only, but predominantly in males at a certain age?
Probably because of a lot of these protein and DNA sequences.
Oh.
So we probably produce that chemical.
Yeah.
At a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
And so, boom, the WNT pathway is higher, this DKK2 protein inhibitor is higher and it just starts inhibiting more hair. I'm not sure.
Interesting, though.
And you know what? Dr. Miller doesn't know either. I mean, she did a great study on it. But having hair on our palms and wrists would have been a lot harder for stone tool making and grabbing.
Yeah, and because you'd be slippery.
Uh-huh. So our human ancestors probably had some evolutionary traits where the ones who had this pathway where we had less hair
mm-hmm.
could grab tools better. They survive better when they're swinging their mace at their foe.
Whoa.
It's not slipping out of their hands. Could you imagine grabbing a big stick to fight somebody and you got hairy palms and you're dropping it all over the place?
You can't shave your palms.
No lady apes are coming after you. You're such a goof. So they think that evolutionary, maybe we started losing hair because of these evolutionary factors.
Oh.
One theory that went out of favor is the aquatic ape theory. We talked about this and what makes humans bipedal.
Because they stood up so they could walk into the ocean, right?
Yeah. We lived in the savannas mm-hmm. of Africa when we were hundreds of thousands of years ago. And when it got really dry, mm-hmm. we'd migrate to the ocean or to lakes or to streams where we'd wade into shallow waters to collect tubers, shellfish, clams, all the stuff you pay way too much money when
all
you go
goodies.
To a restaurant now, mm-hmm. right? And hair is not a good insulator in water.
Mm.
And short legs are also problematic in that wading environment.
Yeah, you'll drown.
So they think that evolutionary, maybe we elongated our legs, we lost a lot of our hair and gained some body fat. Because if you ever seen apes,
mm-hmm.
they have really small rear, like hind legs.
Right.
With not a lot of body fat. We make fun of them all the time when they're at the gym. So someone missed leg day. And then since they're 40 times as strong as you, they rip your arms off. But, you know, they whatever. Really... They got little tiny little legs. I don't care. My legs are great. I never skip leg day. Anyway, so bipedalism, that's why we think there's one theory. That's why we became bipedals. Really not. Again, nobody knows. They're doing studies all the time, taking their grant money, going to fancy galas and saying, here's my study paper. I don't know what it means.
I don't know how many galas they're
but
going to.
One big thing with the loss of hair is primates are mainly vegetarian. They just sit around and eat bamboo and leaves and bugs.
Okay.
They're not out there. Early humanoids were hunters.
Oh, we murdered things.
We murdered things. And so we went from the cool, shady forest to the savanna, and we needed a new thermoregulation.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't be out in the hot sun in our fur. You've probably seen your dog, your big furry dog,
mm-hmm.
sit outside on a hot day. It's like, this is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Just laying there with
and we're fine. We're just kind of sweating on our skin, looking all glistening in our yoga pants. And like, this is a great day, dog. What are you dealing with? So we needed a new way to not overheat, and we produce better sweat glands.
Oh.
So your body gets
wet. We're sweatier?
We're way sweatier than a lot of animals.
Oh.
Way sweatier. The University of Reading proposed that going furless reduce the impact of lice and other parasites.
Oh, yeah.
So if you are no hair on you, you're not getting bugs.
Yeah, they're not. But they have nothing to hang on to.
So but why on our head and our pubic region, they're saying, well, your head protects you from the sun, and your pubic region helps you retain pheromones that you secrete.
Oh.
Yeah. Well,
you think it's pheromones, or is it heat for...
Well, this one said pheromones, but probably heat, too. You need to be warm. You need to be warm. Why not have some fur?
Yeah.
But you would, if you were hairless, you could show everybody right off the bat, I'm parasite-free.
Oh.
I've got a 2-bedroom cave, and I'm parasite-free.
Could you imagine?
Yep.
That's the dating app. They just strut out there and be like, hey.
And the last one is emotional communication.
Oh.
This one I don't get, but they said, so animals have two types of cones. Most animals.
Okay.
Birds and reptiles have 4 cones or something ridiculous. They can see everything.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So if you ever see a bird, he's looking through your soul. But we have 3 cones. So our 3rd cone, it allows us to see a lot of shades or hues.
Right.
Those aren't needed for hunting. I don't need to know if the deer is a light brown or a dark brown. I can just go eat the deer.
But they are for like berry picking and things like that. And that's why women have more cones than males.
More receptors on their cones.
Yeah.
So we got the 3 cones. That's better. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about now. This is Changizi proposes the 3rd cone theory.
No, he knows. I'll talk to him.
Yeah. Well, we're going to call him up.
Know.
We're going to call him up. You should do a study. But
I don't have a dress for gala.
But is the 3rd cone's unnecessary for hunting or tracking, but the color changes in the face. They're thinking maybe color changes in the face. Humans can look at your face.
Okay.
And depending on what your color of your face is, you can determine emotional things. So such as illness. So if your baby is blue or green and look sick
or yellow,
you can see that hue and you can say, my baby's sick, I need to do something. If you're pink, like a blushing, you might have some sexual attraction. If your face is flush red, you might be upset. And they said this was not just for light colored skin, but also for dark colored skin.
Yeah, because it's still hues.
A hue. So anyway, that's what he said.
Oh, so it's not like a mustache or a beard.
Well, but then why do we have beards? Wouldn't all people not have beards if that was the theory too? Wouldn't you want to lose your face stuff? Or is it just ladies? The guys want to know what the ladies are thinking. Said, is she blushing or is she raging red hot mad at me? Okay. Was my joke off the cuff? Was it too sexist or was it just sexist enough? And then you're done. So maybe yes. That was a 2006 paper in Biology Letters.
Oh, interesting.
So whether you think we were swimmers, we were sweaty, or we were blushing, who knows? But that's probably why we lost all our hair.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Okay. That's it. I had some hair facts, but we're kind of getting deep in it. You ready? We're just going to go through them quick.
Do it.
Wham, bam. Super rapid fire. Hair is mostly made out of keratin. Same thing as your fingernails. How gross is that? You got fingernails on your head. Hair grows quicker in warmer climates because your circulation.
Right.
A wet strand of hair can stretch up to 30 times its normal length.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Hair is dead. No big deal. Just like your fingernails. Mm-hmm. That's why it doesn't hurt when you cut it. Could you imagine if it hurt every time you cut it?
Oh, you're like, ah.
What if they were like alive and they screamed every time you cut it? Black is the most common hair color.
Okay.
Red is the most rare. Jesse's a redhead. Mm-hmm. 1% of the world's population is naturally red hair. But only 2% has blonde hair.
What?
Everybody else has black hair. Black or brown hair.
Oh, interesting.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Each strand of hair can support up to 100 grams of weight.
Whoa.
So just for reference, for those in the imperial system, 440 grams is a pound. So one hair can support up to like a quarter of a pound. You have 100,000 to 150,000 strands of hair on your head.
Okay.
I have a little bit less than that, but that's okay. That is the equivalent of two elephants.
What?
So if you were to take all your hair, I don't think you can do this, but if you were to take all your hair and each one can hold 100 grams, that's the equivalent of two elephants of weight.
That's crazy.
I know. It's amazing. That's it. Second fastest growing cell or tissue in your body behind bone marrow.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
Yep. And if you get it wet or you dry your hair,
mm-hmm.
it actually changes the hydrogen bonds in your hair. So when you say, my hair is so frizzy because it's humid, or mm-hmm. I'm in the shower and my hair got flat.
Yeah.
That's not just it being wetter or drier. The hydrogen bonds in your hair actually change.
Oh.
That's why you get big frizzy hair mm-hmm. when it's super humid outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because your hydrogen bonds are actually changing.
Oh, and then lifting up. Oh, interesting.
Yep. So anyway, there you go. That's my hair stuff.
That's crazy.
All the hair. Now you know. Now, yeah. the more you know, apparently the less you know, because your studies don't really tell you which one's the right way.
That's right.
What I'm really realizing about history and science.
Yeah.
Everybody says, this is the way it is, until another scientist comes along and says, that's not how it is.
It's like, nuh-uh.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I found.
Yeah. It's a bunch of nuh-uhs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is, with all of these different studies, it's just a bunch of people trying out things. So you don't, taking things, they don't have to be definitive, because before you know it, there's going to be another study that contradicts the one before it.
And the next thing you know, we're in the Matrix, and it's all fake anyway.
Yeah, so it doesn't really matter.
Okay. All right, well, there you go. There's hair. So you're going to get into the science of hair.
Yes.
But more the mental science.
Yes.
Okay, so because I did some science. This was from Science Magazine.
It was really good. You actually stole some of my facts.
What? Get out of town.
This is fantastic.
That's my goal. Every time we do an episode, if I can steal the most amount of facts from you, I have mm-hmm. a tally system. How many did I steal? Two?
Two.
Mm-hmm. 2 points. I have 2 points total now after 100 episodes.
Yeah, see?
So we're over 100 episodes, everybody. By the way, thank you so much for listening. Spread the word about this. We've got over 100,000 downloads. We're over 100 episodes. You guys are amazing.
It's so cool.
You're letting us know how much cool stuff you're doing.
Chatting it up, getting some stuff in a raffle.
Everybody's amazing. So yeah. Thank you so much for allowing us to do this. But without further ado, let's get into some science.
Okay, we're going to start off socially.
Socially.
So, in our social interactions, our hair is our most predominant feature.
Our hair is our most predominant feature.
Yes.
So, when you show up and you open, go through the door and you wave your luscious locks yeah. at everybody,
yeah.
that's what they notice first.
Yeah, because it's funny, because we think that we're looking at people in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
We actually very rarely look at people in the eye.
Yeah.
When we're talking to them.
And when someone looks you in the eye, it is freaky. You do not trust that person.
Well, it's an intimate action. Mm-hmm. So you only look at people in the eye if you've known them a really long time.
Okay.
So they actually look at your hair and other features around, like the roundness of your face.
They look around your eye.
They look around your eye.
They don't want to be peeping into your soul.
Yeah, because that's scary. It also has to do with our self-identity. So our hair, it's like a billboard, if you will, about how intellectual we want to be, or a sexual being, or how much of a rebel we are, right? It's a billboard of who we are. So we're trying to define ourselves with our hair.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, so self-identity. And then it signifies adulthood. So when you're a little person, as you're growing, your hair is different, much different. And so if you guys have kids, you can feel that. Like the soft baby hair is much different than adult hair. And so as you're leaving childhood, your texture of your hair and even your color can be left behind. Like you're a good example where...
I was a blonde.
You were a blonde.
Blonde towhead. And next thing you know, boom, brown, almost black hair.
Mm-hmm. And that was very, very dense and curly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So your baby hair was significantly different than your adult hair, which then brings in your adult identity.
Oh, okay.
So, and you'll see this in middle school. You'll see, because it's usually about the time they lose all of their baby hair. It actually moves into the adult hair. And then that's where you get like kids' hair is really difficult to manage and they're trying to figure it out. And
so in middle school, they're dealing with puberty, they're dealing with acne, they're dealing with social implications, and they're dealing with bad hair.
With the changing of their hair, yeah.
We just need to let these kids leave for 2 years.
To a nice tropical area.
We put them on an island.
Uh-huh.
We let them fight.
No, and then we don't let them
and then
fight.
The fittest survive and come back.
Oh, honey. And, that's not.
But seriously, poor middle school kids.
I know. It's such a rough time. Yep. It really is. So there's a lot to grapple with in that time frame. And so, but their hair, they're defining it as they're moving into adulthood.
Okay. So
that
they might like it a little bit.
Well, they should. They should, because that's the hair that they're going to have. But it is figuring out how to work with it, because their hair does change. Because baby hair is really easy to manage, usually. Like, it's usually quite a bit thinner, and it doesn't tangle the same as adult hair does.
It's soft. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so it's a lot to deal with that. Now, blonde, this is how we are socialized. And this is actually uniform in the world, even though certain hair colors are predominant in certain cultures. Right? So blondes. Blondes are stereotyped chiefly as women who are kind of the quote-unquote dumb blondes. Or if they're male, they're dumb jocks or like the surfer dude.
Mm, I get it.
And there's only one exception. I'm going to go into that here. But that's how they're stereotyped in most of media. And that's how we gain a lot of our social implications.
Yeah, whatever media puts out there, that's what we think is true.
Yeah, which is not...
No, I know.
Not accurate. But brunettes. Brunette women are stereotyped as smart, sophisticated, and more serious. They can also be seen as boring and dull because brown is a very common color.
And yeah, so, everybody's a brunette.
Yeah, so it depends on what they're trying to portray, and so you'll see different hairstyles have a big impact on brunettes versus
so blonde. Blondes. You could be whatever, and you're still just a blonde just, surfer chick.
Yeah,
or surfer dude.
Yeah,
but if you're a brunette and you have a bob versus long braids,
yeah,
very different.
Yeah, okay. So the hairstyle has more impact on the brunette. Brunette men are seen as tall, dark, and handsome.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. That's it. I agree. Okay. Study done.
Now, here's the exception. So, here's the thing. Now, Thor is depicted. He's blonde. Mm-hmm. He's got luscious locks.
He's a goofball.
He is a goofball. Yeah. So, he has enough of that surfer dude.
His character's a goofball.
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth, yeah.
The Ghostbusters that he's in.
Yeah, yeah.
So funny.
Yeah.
He did a good job. So, he's seen as a surfer dude, but then also as a serious hero.
Right.
Right? So, this is when a male is depicted as a blonde, they usually have a counterpart that's a brunette that counteracts
them. Lady Thor.
Well, it's actually Loki.
Oh, Loki.
Loki is the counterpart to Thor, and they've actually researched this. So
if Loki was a blonde, wouldn't have worked.
It wouldn't work.
Oh, I like
right?
it. Yeah.
So because the brunette is Loki, they counteract the ditziness or whatever you want to say of the blonde, making them more serious, making them competent within the network that they've constructed in the movie.
The whole package.
So you'll see this in a lot of movies, and once you see it, you can't unsee it.
So you'll get a dark hair, light hair combo.
Yeah, and if they're a team of some kind, like if they have to work together in some fashion, it will de-dumbify the blonde in order to make the blonde more capable.
Will
to counteract
and
the
will also make the brunette.
Brunette
or dark haired more fun.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So because Loki's actually a pretty funny character.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But definitely more serious. For
I think it. Yeah.
So it's interesting how media depicts that. Okay, and then that we absorb that, and then we imprint that onto all of the people we know, which is just silly humans. Come on now. Natural red hair, like you said, is very rare. The highest percentage of red hair is actually in Scotland, it's 2-3%.
What? 2-3%? That's huge.
They're getting
that's
crazy
double
over there.
To triple the amount of redheads.
That's the amount of blondes.
That's yeah.
See?
There's probably more redheads than blondes in Ireland.
Yeah, I would feel so comfortable there.
You
so
would.
Amazing.
Because you are an outcast here. Everybody's throwing rocks at you when you're walking down the street.
No one waves at me.
Yep.
Redheads are seen as striking, unusual, uncommon, impulsive, quick-tempered. Don't you dare laugh. Hot-tempered, hot-blooded, passionate, and angry.
Yes. This is a great study. This one is true. This one they put on the desk and said, I know. I know what redheads are.
I am married to a redhead, yep. Therefore I have these things. No, but really, this is how redheads are depicted. Because if you took, let's say I was blonde, you could say I was kind of dumb and ditzy, right? Mm-hmm. If you made me a brunette, you could say that I'm very serious. And I overstudy on things, right? So it's interesting how we're socialized into these things. So then paradoxically, though, because people like, ooh, this, the redhead, and it's like this like unusual exotic thing, which is ridiculous, but... Mm-hmm. But then redheads were also stigmatized throughout history. They were seen as vampires and demons and witches. Witches was a big one. The redheads considered a devil's mark. So it means a witch from birth versus like a witch. So the, you want to hear some history on that?
Sure.
So they, birthmarks were seen as the devil's mark. So if you became a witch in your lifetime, but not from birth, you would get like a birthmark, even though you were also born with it. But it would develop and get bigger as you got older.
Oh, okay. More apparent. Right?
Yeah, so that was the devil's mark. But if you were born a redhead, then you were...
automatically a witch.
Yeah, yeah.
You're automatically a witch from birth.
Yeah.
Your path is paved.
You I know. Can't
say, I want to be a preacher. So yep. Too bad, you're marked by the devil.
Yep.
You're going to be a witch.
Right. Well, and even Judas... had red hair and a red beard.
Judas had red beard and red head.
Yep.
Really?
And, yeah, and that's how he was depicted, even though they have no idea.
Yeah. Okay.
They have no idea. So it's interesting. Redheads have a marked lower self-esteem and experience more insecurity in their life.
Is because they're just different?
Well, and it talks about, yes, different. So think about middle school. Let's go into middle school again. So as you develop into a middle schooler, you kind of just want to conform and make sure that no one points anything out.
Yeah, everybody wants to be special until you're special, and then you just want to be like everybody else.
Yeah, because you don't want everybody to point that out, right? And they talk about when being pointed out in like a large group of like zebras, let's say. If you are remarkably different,
you're a pink zebra, you're getting eaten first.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So in the group, you become ostracized because you're bringing the lions.
Right.
And so they think that there's a very similar thing with that in like middle school where you want to be special, but then you don't want to be special. Right. Well, a redhead has such a low percentage that you're going to stand out. Right. And so in doing so, you become this weird, unusual thing, which is weird is definitely not what you want to be during that age group. Right. And then you become inferior.
You feel inferior.
Yeah. And sometimes you get told you're inferior.
Yeah, I get it. Middle school kids are terrible.
Yes, they really are. And then redheads, compared to other colors of hair, find that their red hair defines them more than other things. So like a brunette might be like, well, I'm a ballet dancer. But a redhead would be like, I'm a redhead.
Which is interesting, yeah.
So it's a characteristic that defines you.
Yeah, it makes sense. And it makes sense because it's unique.
It is unique. So then it's like, oh, this is your unique
identifier.
Thing. That so everybody
you
can
try
see.
To pick a unique identifier.
Well, and okay. I dyed my hair for many, many, many years.
Yeah, I didn't know you were a redhead until we were married for 5 years.
It was 5 years because it.
5 years?
I stopped dyeing my hair when I got pregnant.
Yeah, and you have dark eyebrows, brown eyes,
mm-hmm.
and you were a blonde for 6 years or whatever.
Well, and all through my middle school and high school, I did the cherry red, the low, what is that, maroon? A maroon hair dye.
Okay.
All through. So I was unique, but I made myself unique.
Okay.
Even though my red hair would have been just fine. But
just fine.
It's a whole thing. So it has a lot to do with how we're socialized and how we're treated and how media depicts us.
Okay,
so I wanted to go into hair length because hair length is one of those things where like women with longer hair have more vivacious, you know, reproduction or something. I don't know. Not the case. There's not an actual significant difference. There is different studies that have shown that, but then they were contradicted. And
same old thing.
Yeah.
Who knows if it's actually hair length? It's probably just healthiness.
Well, it's healthiness and it's symmetrical faces.
Oh, so we do love symmetry. We talked about that in one of our episodes.
Yes. So
that's, I can't remember which one.
We've talked about it a couple different times. Yeah.
But symmetry in nature is a huge deal.
It's a hard thing to differentiate in a study. So that's a difficult one. And now I wanted to go into baldness because it's definitely something that happens to many, many men. So men with thinning hair fared worse than bald men societally.
So if you are thinning, shave that bad boy off because you will do better in the world if you just are completely shaved or super buzzed.
Yeah. So it's called purposefully bald. So whether you have a full head of hair and you shave it off or whether you're thinning and you shave it off, you fare better than someone who is kind of slightly thinning.
Because that's, you're victimized. So one of them, you're saying, God decided I want to, I'm going to be bald. And this one says, God doesn't tell me what to do. I'm going to decide to be bald. So I'm going to shave my head.
So it's actually kind of, it's interesting because
I like it.
We see thinning as age and old and unreproductive.
Yep.
That kind of thing. Versus a purposeful bald. We don't know where he's actually at.
Which we need to change. We need to be more like lobsters. The older you are as a lobster, the more virile you are as a lobster.
That's right.
The oldest lobsters are like the Don Juans of the lobster culture. And I think we should adopt that.
I think that would be great.
Yeah.
Okay. So the biggest thing is that most men with hair would rather retain their locks than become bald.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah. So that's kind of where
I've never met a man who's balding and said, I'm so glad I finally don't have hair.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. But this is the purposefully bald study that I read, and it is so amazing. Okay. So if someone is purposefully bald, they are seen as being nearly four years older than they are. They're 13% more dominant.
Nice.
6% more confident.
Nice.
10% more masculine.
Nice.
Which I thought was interesting. Like, you're more masculine.
Heck yes, I am.
You are 13% stronger.
Yes.
And about an inch taller.
What? Wait, how's the inch taller thing?
This
work?
Is all I perception.
I stand taller.
Maybe because, yeah. But this is the perception of a purposefully bald male.
So those of you who don't know me, I started thinning a couple years ago, pretty early.
When you were a captain.
Pretty
yeah.
early, yeah. yeah. And so I just said, I tried to do the old, it's fine, you can't see it. And it's finally, you know what, I'm not doing it. So I just shaved my head.
Yeah.
And I'm not lying. Like, yes, you look a little bit older. People,
sure, yeah.
people never know my age,
mm-hmm.
but I am. I'm way more confident, and I grew an inch taller.
It's not.
Yeah. I'm like 6'4 now. I swear.
Well, but it's perception. That's the thing. It's perception. Just like people, because I have red hair, might think I'm more emotionally volatile.
Which? What?
So they might, the perception would be that you are older, but that you are also more dominant.
Okay. I like that.
Isn't that interesting?
So it does justify the shave your head if you're balding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like
and
it.
You know what? Do what you want to do. I don't think that, if you are cruising around with thinning hair, I think that's fine.
Yeah, whatever.
But this is just statistically what people perceive.
Yeah. And people are going to perceive. They're going to stereotype and they're going to perceive. So you might as well know what's happening.
Yeah.
So then you're not fooling yourself. A big thing with us here is just assess where you're at.
Yeah, just assess where you're at, assess what your environment's doing.
Yep.
Because I know plenty of blondes that are very intelligent, and I don't hold that stereotype personally.
And I know a few redheads that are not volatile. That's it.
Do you? Okay. Do you know any?
No, but I just wanted to say that for all those redheads out there that are saying,
right.
I'm actually very well put together.
Yeah. And so am I.
Well, is that your science segment?
That's my science
all
segment.
All right, I love it. So let's get into a quick coffee review.
Yes.
We're reviewing some grounds and hounds.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll talk about action plan of how to incorporate this to make you more successful.
I drank pots and pots and pots and pots of strong black coffee, trying to keep my sleepy soul awake. But the sleepiness still comes along, and when it does, it's fast and strong. I end up with a bad case of the shakes.
Okay, so we are reviewing the Grounds and Hounds Coffee Co., and it is the Alpha Blend.
Thank you for this one.
You're welcome.
It's a non-flavored coffee. If you are a listener of the show, you know that we are reviewing coffee, and Jesse has been buying flavored coffees, not just little touches of flavor.
They're great.
We're talking smack you in the face.
They're so great.
Knock you out.
So much pumpkin spice.
And then pour the coffee all over your body. Like, that is what it feels like. So what do we have? We have Grounds and Hound. Is it a medium blend?
No, this is a dark roast.
This is a dark roast.
Yes. It's a dark roast. It has taste notes of vanilla, ginger, and nutmeg.
Ooh.
Which I really liked. And it's same thing. I was a little worried because our medium roast was a little rougher than I would have liked. But this one was quite delicious. So
this one is good. I'm giving it fours across the board.
Perfect. Fours across the board. And it's just good.
And we go into like the smell. We go into
We have aroma,
aroma,
acidity,
body,
flavor and aftertaste.
Flavor and aftertaste.
And then design and brand.
Package design.
And brand. I do like the packages. This one has like a brown reddish, I would say, label. The other ones, there was a blue, and I forget the first one. But yeah. It's a nice, simple package, but it's very cute. And every cup helps a pup.
Every cup of this helps a dog in need.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, no, you have to say it like this. Every cup
every
helps a
cup,
pup.
Because it rhymes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's on
we need
the
to be,
package.
We need
Look
be,
at the little...
Oh, it says it on the actual package.
Yeah.
And it's fair trade. So, yeah, okay. You know what? I'll give Grounds and Hound coffee. But I'm so sick of dog coffees. I'm so sick of it.
I know.
Give me some people coffees. All right. I like it. Grounds and Hounds. You can find it at your local store.
Oh, no. No, you have to order online.
This is a fancy boutique-y one.
You got it. I'm sure they have a store somewhere.
Probably.
But I didn't. I ordered this online.
If you're the owner of Grounds and Hounds, reach out to us.
Yeah, say, where's your store?
Let us know where your store is at.
How
and
do
then
we
we'll
do this?
Come visit you. We're going to start traveling. We're going to take this show on the road. So we're excited to do that as well.
We're going to go to all the places. And I'm trying to find like a coffee connoisseur thing where they can teach us different coffee
like
things.
Like a brewmaster, but a roast master.
Yes, exactly.
I like it. They got to have roast
They
masters.
Have to have something like that where you can... They have competitions. I was looking into this. They have competitions. We could probably go and like sit and watch it.
Yep, absolutely.
Nobody wants to know our opinion on these things. But
no. We
even this,
we
made this up.
No
we
one
made
wants
this
to
up.
Hear opinions about anything. They say, give us the facts, Ty and Jesse.
Yeah.
No more of these opinions. Give
I don't
us
know.
The facts.
If you get the Grounds and Hounds Alpha blend, it's good.
Yeah, let us know if you buy it and you like it.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know if you hate it. If you say, every time you give us a review, I go the opposite direction.
Yeah,
because
then we like,
you guys have weird taste buds.
Yeah, okay. And like, cool, that's
I like
fine.
It. I like it. Okay, that's it for coffee review?
Yep, excellent brew. If you want to see the packaging and the final rating, go to our website and subscribe to the newsletter.
Yes, so we have the newsletter. All the information's in the show notes. Mm-hmm. All the links are in the show notes. You can subscribe to the newsletter. You can also just download it. If you don't want your email flooded with all this junk you always get.
I only do it once a week.
It's once a week.
It's not flooding.
I mean, I'm just saying everybody.
And
no
I
one
work
wants to
hard
subscribe.
On it.
And we're not going to pitch you a bunch of stuff.
No.
We don't care about that.
And the actual email always looks the same. You just click into the newsletter and then that's the change.
And it's the link. So you can download just newsletters. And you can. Mm-hmm. We got sweatshirts and hats and t-shirts and coffee mugs. And
free
we got books.
Books.
Mm-hmm. We got books. And the digital copies are free on the Amazons. So yeah, a bunch of good stuff.
Yeah.
Go check us out. And tell your friends. Say, hey friend, listen to this podcast.
They talk about coffee.
They talk about
way
coffee.
Way too much.
And hair. All right, let's get into the action plan and we'll talk about how to manipulate and mentally facilitate your hair.
Let's hope you make the most of it, my boy.
Assess your hair. No. it's kind of the same thing. Kind of. It's get to know your hair.
Get to know it. Take it on a date. But not too fancy of a date. So is this like a salon date? Or that's like third base for your hair.
Yes.
That's do not go.
Yeah,
if you don't know
touching your hair.
If you don't know your hair very well, don't go to the salon yet.
Well, so here's the thing.
Take it for a walk.
Is it?
take it out to coffee. Say, hey, hair, tell me a bit about yourself. What? Is this what we're doing?
Oh, my goodness. What in
How
the
do you
world?
Get to know your hair?
Here's the thing. Most people are really trying to ignore the fact that they have their hair.
They don't like their hair.
They don't like
Most
their hair.
Most people don't like their hair.
Yeah, if you want have straight hair, you want curly hair. If you have curly hair, you want straight hair. There's different fads that all throughout the ages that make certain hairs really cool and other hairs not so cool, right? So it's getting to know your hair for you and your hair instead of fighting everything and pretending that it's something else.
Okay, that makes sense.
So then you're going to assess what your hair expresses to the world.
Like we just said in your science segment, what is the world seeing when it looks at your hair?
Yeah, and it's and this might be stereotypical type stuff. It's how you're socialized. It's how you're treated. If you have rainbow hair, like what is that saying? If your hair is really dirty or tingly, what is that saying to you? If you have a very modern haircut, like the undercut that you do on our son was actually kind of like, oh my goodness, like a little crazy back in the day. And now it's just like a
regular
people.
No, everybody's got it. And so he's just fitting in with the crowd.
Yeah. Yep. So just things like that, just paying attention to what your hair is saying to the rest of the world. Because if I let my hair out of its braid every day, my hair is huge. I become a lion. And so if I walked around and I was trying to therapize people in lion hair, mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't have much credit.
Distracting.
It'd be distracting. Yeah. Versus if I keep it in a braid or like a low wave, then people tend to take me more seriously, yeah. right? Okay. So that kind of thing. Revisit the journey of your hair. Okay, so I want you to go from baby hair all the way up to current hair. And your experience of it. Because, like, for me personally, middle school through high school, I fought my hair. Like, I didn't understand my hair. I didn't know what to do with it. My hair was always really big. I always had it in a bun. Like, I didn't like my hair or want my hair, right? And then I got into my young adulthood and I bleached the crap out of it so that I could pretend I didn't have red hair.
Right.
Right? And so there's been a lot of, like, trying to abandon this thing that's so close to my head. And so the journey, I want you to pay attention to the journey of it and then how we actually embrace our hair now for what it is. I'm not saying that you can't bleach your hair or dye your hair, that kind of thing, but it's just understanding and appreciating what you have and then how you'd like to change it up to make it whatever you want it to be. It doesn't really matter, but there's a hair love I'm trying to get here.
So love your hair. So do your journey, get your scrapbook out and do your hair journey and then decide, okay, I love my hair. And then what do I want my hair to be? So if I want it to be a little different, if I want it to be more moist, mm-hmm. if I want a different hairstyle
or a color, that's fine.
How do I go down that route? But also if I go down that route, am I just trying to hide my hair
mm-hmm.
or am I actually trying to portray something different to the world? And I still love my hair. Is that where we're going?
Yeah, because like when I was bleaching my hair, I was trying to hide my hair color. Now, I can go right back into bleaching my hair now, but it shouldn't be because I want to hide my hair color. Maybe it's just I want something different or whatever these things are. But really paying attention to what your hair needs, because everybody's hair needs something different. And so maybe I need more moisture. Maybe that's why my hair is so stinking big. Like maybe I need more moisture in my hair, whatever the things are. But just being realistic about what it is and being kind to yourself. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense.
And then your hair shows your mood, emotion, and mental well-being. So part of taking care of your hair is taking care of yourself because it's an extension of ourselves.
Even if you're just shaving it off.
Even if you're just shaving, yeah.
Or the gals.
Or the gals, yeah. Even if you're just shaving it off, it still is a depiction of your mental health. And so we should be taking care of ourselves. So I want you to think of this as an extension of coping and self-love. So really take care of yourself, know what you need, and then move into that self-embrace.
Okay, so this is coming to terms with who you are
mm-hmm.
and how you're portrayed to the world.
Yep.
And then determining if that's what you where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is not, how to improve it.
How to improve it.
But then also love the journey while you're in it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So recap the steps.
Okay.
So we got to assess our current hair situation.
Yeah, and know your hair, assess your hair. That's kind of the same step.
Then we do the journey.
Uh-huh. And then we do the journey, paying attention to what our hair has meant to us this entire time and society.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to embrace what you got.
So embrace and love your hair.
Uh-huh. Figure out what you need, what needs to be modified, if there's anything, or just loving what you have. And then understand that this is a part of you and that you taking care of this, your hair, is also taking care of yourself.
So don't ignore your hair. Take care of your hair. Because taking care of your hair is taking care of your mental health
mm-hmm.
and your well-being.
Yes.
Easy. So that's it. So I just have to start shampooing and then I'm good.
Whatever.
No more depression for me.
Whatever. No, but most certainly, if you're fighting a part of you,
yeah.
then absolutely.
Okay. All right. You know right? what? Yes. Every time we do this, I say, yeah, you know what? Jessie knows what she's talking about.
A little bit. Sometimes.
Even though she's a redhead, she knows what she's talking
oh.
about.
Oh. Do you see what I'm saying, though?
Yeah. No, it just makes
embracing
perfect sense.
And loving your hair is an extension of you.
Right. So whether you have long, luscious locks, you have crazy, frizzy hair, whether you're a blonde or a redhead or a brunette, or you're balding,
mm-hmm.
just go through these steps. And yeah, know why.
And this is you. This is a part of you. So take care of you.
I think this one had ulterior motives.
Maybe.
Again. Yep. All these ones. You're trying to get me to be more happy.
Mm.
I'm not falling for it. I'm a grump. I'm a grump all the
You're
time.
Stay grumpy.
Yep. No, this is great. I'm going to do this one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I used to have big, thick, luscious hair.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have to get the thinners out to, yeah, thin it out because it was so big.
It would jam the little clipper things, yeah.
Like that. To go from that to this that fast, I must have fallen in some ooze or something.
Ooze.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate the opportunity. I'm going to go do this one right now.
Mm-hmm.
This one's an easy one to do right now.
Yeah. It's just like, you're like, oh, yay. Okay. I love you.
And
hair.
Then maybe I'll take a shower and shampoo it because mm-hmm. I love it and it deserves it.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today. That was Hair. So go out there and
build a better you.
Thanks, guys.